Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
This is Matt Miller with Ron Kangas for a very pleasant life study program on God's salvation. Ron, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me to share with you, you know, in light of Brother Lee's ministry, on these wonderful verses, kindness, love to man, our Savior God, His mercy, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is wonderful. To be able to fellowship these things, even briefly, is a delight. I'm looking forward to this.
Boy, Ron, I'm really looking forward to it, too. I don't know if I'm doing it justice to say that the program's on God's salvation, because God's salvation in a lot of Christians' mind has become common, but the words that you just mentioned really bring a lot more meaning to God's salvation.
And these words are not arbitrarily used. They're from the Word of God itself. They form the context in which Paul presents God's salvation. We have the divine attributes of love, mercy, and kindness exercised, we may say, from within God's being, to be the source and the motive for God's salvation. Then we have the washing of regeneration, followed by and accompanied by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This surely is the organic process. And the verses that we read don't mention this, but we go into the context. The goal is that we would be heirs.
Right.
I mean, heirs of God. This is the goal of God's salvation. So you're right in the mentality of many genuine believers in Christ. The word salvation connotes something quite limited, that we're rescued from eternal perdition. We will have what is called everlasting life based upon God's justification and forgiveness. And most of that, the everlasting life part, construed as heaven, is not true, but the rest is accurate. But God's salvation is more inclusive and much richer than this. So I'm glad you asked for some comment about the word salvation, so that we would not lapse into a traditional, elementary, superficial understanding of the salvation provided by our Savior God.
Thanks, Ron. Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
God exercised all His love, mercy, kindness, and grace in order to save us. You know, when we are going to do something serious, our whole being is exercised. Our emotion is exercised. Our heart is exercised. Our mind is exercised. Our will is exercised. Even our disposition, everything is exercised. God was altogether exercised in His love and kindness of His nature, and mercy, and grace. All these virtuous attributes, all were exercised for God to save us. These are not activities. These are the sources. God saved us through what? Through a process. You do anything, firstly, you need to have all what you are exercised. Then you need to do something through a process. Through what? Through the washing. The washing is an activity, a part of the process. The washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The process is altogether in verse 5, the last part. The washing, regeneration, renewing, all these are part of the saving process. Am I right? He saved us through what? With what purpose? With what goal? That, you have to go on to verse 7. That we may become. But, you see, that, comma, having been justified, the process was not just saving, was not just washing. When he saved us, he justified us. When he washed us, he justified us. We who have been saved, who have been washed, also have been justified by the grace. Grace is mentioned here. Could you see Paul's wisdom?
Well, Ron, let's stop and ponder Paul's wisdom here a little bit. We're saved, washed, justified, and it's based upon God's love, mercy, kindness, and grace.
Here we see two categories of things. First, we have the divine attributes. And we may, for our present purpose, arrange them in a group of three, plus one attribute standing by itself, distinct but not separate, just like the three of the divine Trinity. We have God's love, mercy, and kindness. Without God's exercise of his being with these three attributes, there would be no salvation. We will emphasize grace very soon, but often those who preach the gospel, they will speak rightly of salvation absolutely by God's grace. We agree with this. But even before the grace can be displayed, there is something in God that is exercised. Love, mercy. To be honest, Matt, we don't hear that much speaking of God's mercy and that much teaching concerning God's mercy, especially among those who are Calvinists or who are adherents to Reform theology. There is a great emphasis on grace, at least doctrinally, there's a great emphasis. But before God can have grace, he must exercise mercy. We were in an indescribably pitiful situation, totally responsible for our condition, and absolutely unable to do anything about it. God is not obligated at all. He could righteously have condemned us all, but his mercy was exercised. And what about his kindness? There's a, if not a type, at least a picture of this in the Old Testament. And I'm thinking about the scene in 2 Samuel regarding David and Mephibosheth, one of the descendants of Saul. And David was inquiring, is there anyone yet remaining to whom he could show the kindness of God? In Romans, I think I'm correct, twice Paul speaks of God's kindness, saying in one place, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. So now we have God's love, mercy, and kindness. These are in God the Father. when they are put together and are embodied and expressed in Christ, they are the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, mentioned by Paul in his blessing in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Then there is the process based upon judicial redemption and justification, according to which we're approved by God according to the standard of his righteousness. Based upon this, there's the washing of regeneration, a washing in the divine life that purges our being of the old things. And as we saw in the beginning in our reading, this is followed by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What a grand salvation this is. It begins with the exercise of God's being. It reaches us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is applied to us through the process of justification, the washing of regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Surely this is wisdom, God's wisdom, becoming Paul's wisdom, to unfold in a living and enlightening way what salvation is in the sight of God, our Savior.
Thanks, Ron. Let's go on to see now the goal of God's salvation in verse 7. In order that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's join Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
The process of all the activities is in verse 5. Through the washing of generation and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, that having been justified by grace of that one,
amen,
we might become heirs,
amen,
according to what? To the hope of eternal life. Don't forget, in the beginning of this book, Paul was an apostle in the hope of eternal life. Now we are becoming the heir of God according to the hope. And this indicates that the eternal life means a lot to Paul as the apostle, and also a lot to us as the believers. For him to be an apostle, it was a matter in the hope of this eternal life. For us to become heirs of God is a matter according to the hope. Now, I will check with you. Could you tell me the difference between these two words, in and according? You have to realize, in means what? In means he was experiencing the hope already. He was in the hope. Could you see this? He was in the hope. But we are to be God's heirs according something we haven't got in yet. But Paul got. You could see this. Saints, I demonstrate you again to know the Holy Word is not a light thing. It's not so easy.
So, Ron, the Apostle Paul was an apostle in the hope. But we become heirs according to the hope. Let's stop and ponder this a little bit.
Okay, and once we do, then I'd like to return to the matter of the heirs and of eternal life itself. The Word of God is really God-breathed, just as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is God-breathed. And in a detail like this, we could easily be negligent, either assuming that there is no significant difference between in the hope of eternal life, and according to the hope of eternal life. Or we may take it for granted that we know the difference. But this is not the way Brother Lee approached God's word. He was always poor in spirit, pure in heart, seeking the Lord in an atmosphere of prayer, not trusting himself, and respectfully, out of his seeking, asking questions. And I can just picture him asking of the Lord, why does Paul in one place speak of his being an apostle in the hope of eternal life? And then when he talks about God's salvation in relation to us, he uses the expression according to the hope of eternal life. The fact is, he did speak in these two ways, and there should be a difference. And I would just like to emphasize what Brother Lee pointed out. Paul himself, as an apostle through God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to a very significant degree, he was in this hope. It was present. It was living with him. And eternal life was exceedingly precious to him. And he lived by this life, and he lived this life. So he could say, quite honestly, that he is an apostle in the hope of this life. It's a hope, therefore it's future. It's eternal life, therefore it's eternal. But he was in it at the time of writing. But we have to admit, as Paul pointed out, with us, the recipients of this epistle, for the most part, the hope of eternal life is ahead of us. So we are according to the hope much more than we are in the hope.
Mm.
The ultimate outcome will be the same, the eternal life. But we have to admit a temporary difference between someone like Paul, who was really in it, and those like us who are according to it. And without classifying Brother Lee with the Apostle Paul, in principle, I'm comfortable saying that in ministering this word to us, even in discerning the difference between in and according to here, Brother Lee himself was in the hope of eternal life, desiring the same for us who presently are according to the hope of eternal life. And what are we according to the hope of eternal life? We are heirs.
Which is the goal of salvation.
That's the goal of it. Justification by grace through faith is not the end. It is the foundation. It is part of the judicial procedure. But it is not the end. God's goal is not to have a multitude of justified sinners who are in his presence with what is usually called an imputed righteousness. And that will never satisfy God's desire to have many sons for his corporate expression. The goal of this salvation is that we might become heirs. Okay, heirs of what? Following the principle of interpreting Scripture by Scripture, we can turn to a passage such as Romans 8. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We will inherit the wealth of God's being dispensed into us according to his economy. We are heirs of God. Our Father is amazingly rich. And we're the Isaacs. Abraham was wealthy. Isaac simply received everything from the Father. The Lord, based upon justification and according to eternal life with its hope, is in the process through his organic salvation, involving washing and renewing, of bringing us into a state where, being full grown in the divine life as sons, we're qualified to become heirs of God. God wants many heirs to inherit the riches of his being. So God exercised his kindness, mercy, and love, which in Christ became the grace that reached us. The Lord Jesus died for our redemption. Based upon that, God can justify us by grace through faith. This frees him governmentally to dispense himself into us as life to make us his children. As children, we're growing to be mature sons. Eventually, according to the hope of eternal life, we will be heirs of God. Marvelous.
Ron, I called this a pleasant program. I think maybe marvelous program, sweet program, a lot of descriptions for this word in Titus. It's a very pleasant time with you today.
Well, it's because all these adjectives should be attributed to God himself. This is his sweetness, his kindness, his mercy, his love, his grace. How precious it is to know him, not only according to righteousness and holiness, but according to all these tender attributes which motivated him to carry out such a great salvation.
Well, our time's up. Special time we've had with you today. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.